The Expo 67 logo remains here in Montreal and traces throughout the city. A simple stick figure with arms outstretched is doubled into pairs, then multiplied in a circular symbol representing the humans of man and his world, the theme of Expo 67. The story behind this logo is the story of Julien Hébert, a key figure, some would say the father of design in Quebec and Canada. I'm Monica Kin-Gagnon, and in this episode, I speak to Martin Racine, associate professor in the Design and Computation Arts Department at Concordia University. He's written about Julien Hébert, the creator of this iconic Expo 67 logo. Ambiguous modernism for Hébert meant undertaking high-quality craft work with an emphasis on local materials while embracing modernity.
Largest World's Fair ever, Expo 67, the international Twin Island Wonderland, is ready for its gala opening ceremonies.
Thanks for coming in today and chatting about Expo 67. I'd like to start by talking about some of your published work on Expo 67. You authored the essay that's called The Ambiguous Modernity of Designer Julien Hébert, in 2010, and you've also recently published the book back in September 2016, Julien Hébert, Fondateur du Design Moderne au Québec. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your research on Julien Hébert and also on Expo 67.
Well, Julien Hébert is really a pioneer because he's considered the father of design in Quebec and also to a certain point in Canada. He really is someone who has been discovering the field because he wasn't trained as a designer originally, and he actually was trained as an artist at the École des Beaux-Arts de Montréal, and his passion was for sculpture. He really wanted to be a sculptor, but he had a problem with being a artist that would focus on a certain elite. He wasn't too interested in doing what most artists would do, following their studies back in the 1940s. Most artists were focusing on work for the clergy. He didn't want to be like an elitist artist selling his work of art to a rich bourgeoisie, and he wasn't too interested either in working for the clergy. So to reconcile his vision and passion for art, he eventually studied philosophy after his studies in fine arts. And then he really, I guess, pushed his reflection concerning the role of art in society. Design was seen as art for the masses, and that's where Julien Hébert discovered this field. Without knowing, he would become a designer, actually.
One of the arguments that you've made regarding Julien Hébert's design, the iconic design of the Expo 67 logo that everybody recognizes, is how deeply grounded it is in the memory and the social specificity mm-hmm. of the 1967 moments.
The theme of the Expo was inspired by Saint-Exupéry's novel Terre des Hommes. So this really, I guess, influenced, and there was a competition to design the symbol of Expo. So Julien Hébert, has, as I said previously, became a designer following his experience in France. When he came back, he wins a competition and becomes a designer and starts doing furniture. And then we'll also start, because he was also a painter, doing logos and symbols. So he decides to participate in the competition back in 1963 to represent the theme. And he comes up with this symbol that we're, all familiar with, especially in Montreal, because we still see it around. So that character that represents man in a very, very, ideographic way, in a very simple way, of it's just one bar and two arms expressing a human figure. He reinterprets this symbol, connects them in pairs to, I guess, express a couple. And obviously the symbol is a circular to represent in negative shape the form of the world. So there is a very, I guess, in this expression, there's this idea that you have an universal solidarity of couples celebrating around the world. We know that there's no, gender difference in the symbol. There, you know, the couples are not gendered, so there's already a certain, I guess, ideology, a very open ideology here. And actually, there's this notion of the color is flat, so there's no segregation between, say, the people of the earth either. So, contrary to say the Olympics that have different colors to represent the five continents, here we have a flat representation. There's this humanist perspective of equality, Terre des Hommes, expressed here. But there's also, if you go deeper in the analysis of the symbol, you'll notice maybe a form of a tree that kids draw actually to represent a forest. So there's also this notion of nature behind the symbol that is represents like the trees that we see in Canada, in northern countries, without the leaves. So we only see the branches in a way. So we're familiar. It expresses a certain, I guess, representation of who we are as a nation and people. What was supposed to be like a formality, very banal formality, ended up in a very big uproar in 1963 when the logo had to be approved. And then there was a big political battle around the symbol because the opposition thought it looked like a children's drawing. Some accused it to look like the ban the bomb symbol of the peace and love that we're also familiar with. So these connections were really seen as very negative for the Conservative Party, who did not want Canada to be represented by such a symbol. Julien Imbert, as a designer, wanted to express a certain identity in his designs. He wanted to have a modernist approach, so no ornamentation, very pure lines, very elegant proportions. But he, and also very putting the emphasis on the quality of the structure and the function. But he was interested in expressing a certain identity, Canadian identity, through the choice of materials, for instance. He only designed furniture out of aluminum or wood. He always stayed away from plastics. The other aspect is the use of aluminum. Since we're, you know, Quebec specifically is one of the largest world producers of aluminum. And for Julien Imbert, it was something that was super important to become the best designers for products made out of aluminum.
So I wonder if you can talk about Expo 67 and Julien Imbert. Did you come to Julien Imbert through Expo 67?
I had no idea that Julien Imbert was the designer behind it. So I discovered Julien Imbert, with the symbol of Expo 67. And I started to do my research on his role. I had just graduated from design. I was finishing my master's degree, and one of my professors at Université de Montréal had offered me to dig a bit deeper, since Julien Imbert had passed away, to look at had a closer look at his work. And then that's where I really discovered who Julien Imbert was.
Wired magazine recently published a very short article on the filmmaker who produced the film Helvetica, mm-hmm. who's currently working on a film that's on design in Canada. And mm-hmm. the title of the article in Wired was called The Surprising History of Canada's mm-hmm. Most Iconic Designs. And essentially, the article argues, and the film is going to also present, the fact that Canadian designers and Canadians' iconic designs are really unknown and have somehow been overlooked.
There are many reasons why this did not happen, actually. Design was not necessarily something very valorized by the government, especially, I guess, in Quebec. The École du Meuble, which had been created in the 1930s, was really based on craftsmanship. And although many innovative and modern artists had been, involved with the École du Meuble, people like, Paul-Émile Bourgeois, Riopel studied at the École du Meuble. So it's interesting to see that the École du Meuble created many, innovative and avant-garde artists in Quebec. But the emergence of avant-garde did not, translate in design. It did, because Julien Bert tried to wanted to teach at École du Meuble, but its director Jean-Marie Gauvreau was really not interested. He valorized the tradition of the Art Deco movement. He had studied in Paris in 1920, in the 20s. So he was really, his interest was to valorize Quebec's identity through craftsmanship, not through manufacturing and design.
Well, so, I guess there's a way in which design can sometimes be considered as instrumental. So mm-hmm. it's at its best when it's transparent and you don't notice it. So that might be one way of reducing its importance in some ways, or devalorizing it.
Sure. My preoccupations in my teaching is focusing on environmental issues, making sure that the objects that we designed are, of course, of great quality, but also are focusing on limiting the impacts on the environment. What's interesting to see with Julien Bert is that naturally, because of his interest in local materials, I think it still resonates today. It's a coherent approach to use aluminum in Quebec and to use the trees and resources that are around us instead of using tropical woods or using titanium, which or other types of or plastic materials that are that have a large carbon footprint and that are not available locally. Julien Bert had what I call a ambiguous modernity, a vision of design that was ambiguous in a way, because pioneers of modern design had somewhat a radical perspective on the aesthetic aspect of design, focusing on form and function and trying to innovate through use of new form, new shapes, new structures. At Expo 67, for example, we had a very interesting examples of radical modern design, such as Buckminster Fuller's geodesic dome. So Buckminster Fuller had a view of reinventing our houses in a way with this new shape, like a sphere. Let's forget about these millennium, archetypes. Let's focus on new shapes. We have in Moshe Savdi's view, the modern architecture was translated in these cubes that were assembled in space for his project called Habitat, that was one of the breakthroughs presented at Expo 67. We had also Otto Frey's for the German pavilion, these tense structures that were displayed in the space. So that was a very radical point of view. Julien Bert was not as radical. So that's why I use this term modern, ambiguous, because he had an attachment to the crafts, to traditional crafts. So he really appreciated the quality of the furniture built by, say, in the era of the French settlement, for instance. He saw in the furniture a quality of fabrication, a distinct type of personality and the certain ornaments that were for him really interesting and important to preserve. So that's why in his view of when he starts doing design, furniture, he's going to use local materials, but not, you know, he won't use plastic. He won't necessarily focus on creating designs that were completely eccentric or that would not fit in our, I guess, environment. He was really interested in doing furniture out of wood. He valorized aluminum for its lightness, for its weight, and he did very interesting designs. But he saw this as a bit like a craftsman using local materials. So that's my view of that's why I use the term ambiguous modernity to express his attachment. So to the craft. So design for Julien Imbert was a bit like a modern craft.
Do you have any personal connections to Expo 67, either in your family memory or?
Well, my father always says that I'm his contribution to Expo 67.
Oh,
because
why is
I
that?
Was actually born in 1967. Okay. So it's my 50th anniversary myself.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's my personal connection with Expo. But I can tell you that, you know, my parents, they spent their, you know, their summer at Expo. They left, you know, I was like a baby, so I was too young. I was born in February, but the events, the Expo 67, it was May through October. And my older brother was, they would put them in the daycare at Expo 67, take their passport and visit the show. We visit the pavilions one after the other.
But if you were born in February 1967 and your older brother was in and your older siblings were in daycare at Expo 67 and your parents were at Expo 67, where were you?
I understand that they would exchange it with my grandparents. My grandparents would take care of me, but they would argue because my grandparents also wanted to go to Expo.
Join me next time for a conversation with artist Cheryl Sim about her new artwork for our exhibition, In Search of Expo 67.
Un jour.
This podcast was created and produced by the Thinking Out Loud team at Concordia University. It previews the upcoming exhibition at the Musée d'Art Contemporain de Montréal. Opening June 21st, In Search of Expo 67 will offer visitors new perspectives on some of the most innovative and experimental aspects of the Montreal World's Fair. The exhibition is made possible in part by funding from Concordia's Faculty of Fine Arts and its Office of the Vice President of Research and Graduate Studies. For more Thinking Out Loud, check out our website, concordia.ca/TOL.